Thank you for bringing me back to the 1990s with some classic Vineyard songs. I haven't sung in over a quarter of a decade. I love it. I love it. I remember having that. I had the whole set of Vineyard CDs from that time. Man, those were the days. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a little more than a handful of us here. And I just was curious. I was wondering, is there anybody on YouTube still watching the stream? And so I logged on or you know, clicked play. And yeah, there's another 8 also on YouTube. So yeah, that counts too. So I know Miwa is in the comments section, so hello, Miwa. Hope you're doing better. We prayed for you. We remember you in our prayers. And whoever else is online watching us, I don't know who, maybe Michelle or maybe Omar and Starsha or, whoever you are, please say hello in the comments. Maybe Lord Will and Cindy out there as well, Maria. God bless you. Hope you're having a good Sunday. Yeah, I have a confession. It was our first day back in a month and a half. I saw Joyce, 8 years old, and she was here in the morning service. I couldn't help myself. I knew she tested positive for COVID about a month ago, and I just was like, I don't care. I'm going to give her a hug. And so she was walking towards me, and I just opened my arms, and she just walked right into my arms like this, and I just like, oh. And Grace kindly explained she had COVID, and the coronavirus is in her system, but she is not infectious. Yeah, so Grace, she's the medical researcher. I'll take her word for it. She knows what's going on. So I'm just thankful that I got a hug. Oh, okay, all right. If anything, I probably made her sick or something. I don't know. So, yeah, no hugs from me. That's okay. But saying, yeah, hug. I'm hugging you in my heart. There you go. So, hallelujah. Okay, Chris, hello. How you doing? See you online there. All right, that's enough. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. We'll begin with verse 4, all the way to verse 25. It's a long passage, and I don't care. We're going to read all of it. And I would like you to certainly have your Bible open, or your Bible app. I might be referring to a verse here and there, not in your bulletin and not in on the screen. So, yeah, okay. So, Acts chapter 8, verse 4 through 25. I'll read the first half. Please join me at verse 18. I'll read from verse 4 to 17. Please join me at verse 18. Let me read. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, This man is rightly called the great power of God. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, and they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Let's read together. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you. Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. This is the very word of God. Amen? So three things I'd like to cover from this text. Number one, Samaritans. Number two, sorcerers. And number three, stupid questions. I work as a teacher, and the common expression in the classroom these days in this modern era of education is "Dame nashi tsulonga nai." There are no stupid questions. Yes, there are. Okay. We'll get to that at the end, but let's start with the Samaritans. Yeah, I love the bulletin. I think it's Fernando who made this. Is that correct? Yeah. Fernando chose the correct picture. It's the picture of Hiroshima. A nice aerial view. And I love this picture because it matches our text. Our text talks about Samaria. It's a city, a sort of capital city. And when I think of Samaria, I'm reminded of Hiroshima. Hiroshima is a sort of capital city. It's the capital of this prefecture. It's the largest city in Shugoku area. And it's a big city with many people who worship different gods. And yet, God wants to save people in Hiroshima. God sent people to Hiroshima to find and save his people already living in Hiroshima. And there are many in Hiroshima who believe in powers and authorities and the supernatural. And God wants to give them the gospel and to give them his power and to give them his freedom from sin and death and the wrath of God. God loves Hiroshima just like he loves Samaria. And Hiroshima has a big history, deep history. It goes before the atomic bomb, before the modern history of Hiroshima. It goes way back, just like Samaria. And to understand the significance of why Luke has a story about Samaria in his story here of the Acts, I want to give you a little bit of the history. The Golden Age of Israel was a time when there was one king named David. And, oh, it was great. They were at the height of their power. They were almost a superpower. There was Egypt and then Babylon, you know, coming up was Syria. But Israel was on the rise. And David united the 12 tribes. And then his son, Solomon, was known as the richest and most powerful king in that time. And there was no richer king since. And that was the golden era, the golden age. It was the best time. It said that there was so much silver on the streets that silver had no value because there was so much gold, you know. And from then, it went down. It declined. And there was a time when, after Solomon, there was his son named Jeroboam, there was a rebellion. And at one time, there were 12 tribes, but the 10 tribes in the north, they separated from the 2 tribes in the south. And the 10 tribes in the north, they made a new capital city with a new government, a new king, and a new temple. They rejected the temple in the south, which is the original temple in Jerusalem. Just bear with me, a little bit more history. We're almost there. The northern tribes said, not Jerusalem. Our capital is Samaria. And God is not only in the temple in Jerusalem, our God is in the temple here in Samaria. And the people in the south said, no, you have rejected God. You have turned away from God. And you have made your own God. You have made your own temple. And because you want to do it your way, what does God do? He says, I will give you your freedom to do it your way. Like any parent of a child, I have 6 kids, and I know someday, even one son, he says, Dad, I have my way. I said, no, this is the way you wash the dishes. This is how you clean a plate. No, Dad, I have my way to do it. You know? The Samaritan said, we have our way of worship. We have our way of living our life and government. And God says, you have your way. The problem is, when we do things our way, we get our own consequences. And the consequence for Samaria rejecting God was to be conquered by Syria. So in 720 BC, God sends the Syrians. And they, the Assyrians. And they come down and they take the 10 tribes. And here's what happens. When Assyria conquered a nation, they took people from another nation that they had conquered, and they brought them into this country that they had conquered. And then they took the people from this country and they would bring them to another area that they had conquered. Why? Well, the races, but also the powers. If you are now living in a land that's not your homeland, your motivation to fight and to rebel is not as strong. I didn't grow up here. This is not my people. This is not my place. I don't need to fight for it. So yeah, it's to mix the races, and it's to demotivate rebellion, to hinder rebellion. Makes sense, right? It's politics. So the Samaritans are now a mixed race. Race is a social construct, blah, blah, blah. But the Jews thought, you're not pure. You're not 100%, you're not 100% Jewish. You're mixed now. You have people from other countries, you know, you have their gods, right? That's the history. What does that have to do with this? Go with me, Acts chapter 1. Jesus tells his disciples, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. You will have power, and you're going to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Jewish capital, in Judea, the southern capital, the southern part of Israel. What's next? Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Okay? So Christianity, Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All of the stories are in Jerusalem. Now it's going to move out to Judea. Stephen, Acts chapter 7, is murdered. And in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, because Stephen is murdered, the church is scattered. The only people who stay in Jerusalem are the apostles, the 12 disciples. Everybody else, the church of 5,000 plus people, whoosh, scattered to the different places. Follow me. I fast-forwarded too fast. Let's do the Makimodoshi. Go back again. Acts chapter 2. Peter gives a sermon. Who is listening to the sermon? People from every country under heaven. There's a whole list of countries. And if you were following me online, or you were listening online, all of that, all of those countries in Acts chapter 2, they started from the east, starting all the way out in Iran, in Iraq, and it would move all the way, it would move its way west. All the countries being mentioned, from the east, moving its way towards west, and when it came to Jerusalem, it split north and south, and it talked about countries down in Egypt and in Africa, and then it talked about countries in Greece and in Macedonia, and then moving on towards Europe. And the last city was Rome. Okay? There's a map in Acts chapter 2, all of the countries mentioned. The one country that was not mentioned, the one city not mentioned, was Samaria. And so you're reading this, and you're thinking, wait, Jesus. Okay, you said we're going to go from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, but you brought all these other countries in Acts chapter 2. What about Samaria? Acts chapter 8. Pastor Chris, get to the point. Okay, here's the point. God did not forget. God has not abandoned. God did not throw Samaria away. Watch it now. Samaria rejected God in ancient history. Samaria chose a different way from God. And yet God says, I have not forgotten you. And they call you half-breed. They call you hafu. They call you mixed. They say you're not 100% Jewish. Doesn't matter to me. I'm still here for you. This connects to the next story of the Ethiopian. We'll get to that next week. It's fascinating. But here's Philip. He gets to Samaria because God has called him to Samaria. And what does Philip do? Preaching, healing, exorcising evil. It's powerful, miraculous, amazing. People come to believe in Jesus. They get baptized. And he's proclaiming the gospel. What's the result? It says in verse 8. So there was great joy in that city. Great joy. My greatest hope, well, one of them is my greatest hope, is that there is great joy in this city because of what God does in this church. There's a handful of us here. There was a few of them more in the Japanese service. There are 50 other Protestant evangelical churches scattered in throughout Hiroshima. And my greatest hope for this city is that there was great joy in every community, every neighborhood, every cho, every machi, every ku, because of each church that God has planted throughout Hiroshima. But how does it come? If you look, verse 7, many shrieks, impure spirits came out, many were paralyzed or lame were healed. So what happened? There's spiritual warfare. No time to get into it now. You can ask me about it if you're interested later. But look at the last phrase just before verse 8. The lame were healed. Why the lame were healed? Well, the answer comes from verse 12. If you look at verse 12, in verse 12 it says, the good news, Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? When Jesus said, I'm here to bring the kingdom of God, he says, I'm here to bring good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captives free. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is where the poor get good news. The blind have sight, and the prisoners are set free. That's the kingdom of God. Whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's psychological, all of it. I have one example of this. I know I'm going a long time, but please bear with me. I have one thing I want to show you, one opportunity for the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of God. And there's a video.
Hi, Pastor Chris.
You don't have to have the volume. You can turn the volume down for this because it's in Tagalog. Nobody here speaks Tagalog. I think it's Visayan. It's anyway, a language I can't understand. This was sent to me by a dear friend in the Philippines, in Bohol. And this is the countryside, deep countryside. No plumbing, no electricity, countryside. That deep. This is like Nipah Hut countryside. This is people getting water out of the river countryside. Okay? And a former member of this church and then back to the Philippines, he's now there. He went to stay with a family in this countryside. And an old woman, this is the house, this is her house that he's staying at. Her name is Sherilyn. Oh, excuse me, not Sherilyn, Sherilla. Filipinos have interesting names. Not Sherilyn, Sherilla. And she's going blind, maybe almost blind. She was able to see. She had her vision. But because she lives in the countryside and she's very poor, she's not able to see the doctor. And my friend, now in the Philippines, says, you know what, I can't help you, but there's one person I think who will try to help you. And so he sent me the video. And I said, I'm going to try. This is the kingdom of God. And so I said, I'll try. I'll tell it to our people. And so, next month, I'm going to send him some funds to help this woman, Sherilla, who's going blind. We're going to send some funds so that she's able to go to the doctor. Who knows if the doctor will heal her? Who knows if the doctor can, you know, find out what's wrong? We don't know. We're just going to try. and we're going to put it in God's hands. And I just want to share it with you. Don't give out of compulsion. Give out of joy. Great joy. And yeah, decide what you want to give. Naomi and I, we have already decided what we're going to give, what we're going to send. I just want to invite you. And if you have some extra, or if you don't, if you want to sacrificially give, I just want to invite you to do that. That includes you online. If you want to come next week, I'll just take the collection next week as well. So let me know. You could put it in my shoe hole box, my whatever, church box, okay? Or you can hand it to me personally. Doesn't matter. So please remember Sherilla in Bohol, Philippines. The kingdom of God, healing. Let the blind receive their sight. Let's continue back to the text. Samaritans, God has not forgotten. God has not abandoned. Same with Hiroshima. Sorcerers. Now we come to Simon. Simon the sorcerer. Interesting thing about him. Was he a real Christian? Did he really believe? Well, the text says he did. You know, they believed in verse 12. Verse 11. They followed Simon the sorcerer because he had amazed them for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay, let's go to verse 13. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Was he a real Christian? Well, Luke says he believed. And he was baptized. It's not for us to judge if he's a real Christian or not. We leave that to the Lord. The Bible says he believed. In fact, he was baptized. I'm going to talk more about baptism next week. This is interesting. Let's go back to verse 11. Verse 10. This is his name. This is his title. This is interesting. His title was, this man was rightly called the great power of God. This is what Samaritans believed about Simon. What is it about Simon that he was called the great power of God? Now, I'm going to take you on a little bit of a language journey. I think it's interesting, and I think it will help us understand. And I think there's something very important for us to learn through this language explanation. So please bear with me. It will take 2 minutes. The Samaritans have their language. And in their language, their word for God is Kela. In Aramaic, in the Hebraic language, the word for God is El. El Shaddai, El Elyon, the God of the host of heaven, the God of the great protector. God, El is Hebrew. In Samaritan, it's Kela. Kela means God, but also it means power. Simon's name was the great power. Watch this now. They also said Simon was called the Kela Rabbah in Samaritan, the great power. And you could even go a little bit further. The other word in Samaritan for angels is Kelim, the powerful ones. And they were saying that Simon is the greatest angel. He's the most powerful one. He was the one who had the power of God as a human being. He was the great power of God. Are you following? The Kela Rabbah. Please follow. Man of great power. Supernatural power. I don't know if he healed people. I don't know if he made money. I don't know if he was calling down the weather. I don't know. But there was something about this man so dynamic that people understood this is not a regular person. He had some power about him. that they saw he had a connection to God and maybe was God himself. And maybe Simon thought, yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I am the great power. I am the Kelar Abba. But then what happened? Please follow. This is Luke being very clear. Simon said, I now believe in the true great power. I'm not the power of God in human form. Jesus of Nazareth, who this Philip is preaching, he is the great power of God in human form. And I submit myself to this Jesus. You call me the great power of God. I understand. I'm not. This Jesus is the true great power of God. And now I renounce that name. That was his baptism. He died to himself and he rose out of the water into newness of life in the name and the power of Jesus of Nazareth. Does that make sense? Now, that is you and me. That is you and that is me. If anyone would describe a modern person in the 21st century who lives with YouTube and TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, where it's all about me, all eyes on me, all videos about me, all my posts, all my opinions, all my hobbies, all my interests, even the lunch that I eat. Look how delicious I eat. It's all about me. I am. Now, we don't say it with our words. We don't say it with our mouth. But it's in our hearts. I'm God. If there is no other God, it's me. And we don't say it out loud. And it's not at the front of our head. It's at the back of our mind. It's at the bottom of our heart. I want to do it my way. This is my career. This is my relationship. This is my life. Anyone who says that says, I'm God. And Luke is saying, even the man who thought he was the power of God said, no, I submit, I surrender, I give my life away. And Simon was able to sing like we sing. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. Help me know you are near. That is a Christian. That is a person who believes in Jesus Christ. Simon the sorcerer. Now, we come to the stupid question. So, Philip, not one of the 12 disciples, is in Samaria. Preaching, healing, baptizing, discipling, doing ministry. He's not one of the official 12. So is this real? Is this official? Is this really happening? God worked in Jerusalem. Is he really working in Samaria? Samaria? Is he really working there? Well, let's send the official. Let's send the senior pastor. Let's send Peter and John. So they go down, they go north on the map, up to Samaria. And this is to confirm. Now, there's a whole debate. When you become a Christian, do you need two baptisms? Do you need the water? And then do you need the laying on of hands? Do you need all that? There's a huge debate. It's not important. It's really not important. If you want to talk to me about it, you have a question about it, I'll be happy to have a conversation. We don't need it right now. What we need to know right now is Peter and John, two of the 12, wanted to validate, to make official, to recognize the work of God that Philip is doing in Samaria. That's all it is. And so Philip and John go up to this small church in Samaria. I don't know how many it is. And now Peter is going to lay hands. And when Peter lays hands, it's Acts chapter 2 again. Power. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a wind. Is there a wind? Is there fire again? I don't know. But there's no mistake. It's the Holy Spirit. He's come. And what does that mean? In the next story, Philip doesn't need Peter anymore. Philip and Peter and John don't go to the Ethiopian eunuch to lay hands on him. But he's a Christian. He has the Holy Spirit. When you repent of sin and believe that Jesus is your God, you are a Christian. When you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus is Christ, you're a Christian. Simon sees Peter and John laying hands, sees the real power being manifested. I mean, he saw Philip. He had power to heal and exorcise demons. Peter and John, they had power to bring God right into the people's hearts. That's power. Simon says, oh, I want this. I want to join this. I thought I had power, but this is real power. Let me join. And so what does he do? Let me sell all I have and give. Let me give to this ministry. Let me be a part of it. Let me join it. How much? How much? Yeah. Stupid question. Because, not stupid to Simon. It's stupid to Peter. Why is it stupid? Look at the words. Verse 22. Repent of this wickedness. Pray to the Lord in hope that you may that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. Verse 23. I see that you're full of bitterness and sin. Excuse me. Go back. Here it is. Verse 20. I'm sorry. It's verse 20. May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. So let's say it's my wife's birthday. We've been married 15 years, and I want to surprise her. So it's her birthday, and I say, honey, ta-da, it's this box with wrapping paper and a bow, and she says, hey, nani kore? And she opens the box, you know, and she sees this. She goes, oh, sugoi. She takes the gift out of the box, eh? And it's this amazing, wonderful, beautiful, because I'm a good husband. I give good gifts, you know. I know exactly what she wants. So she's like, oh, yeah, I wanted this. I'm waiting for this. Oh, you knew. Wow, so wonderful. Oh, thank you. And then what does she do? She goes to her purse, and she takes out her wallet, and she says, Ikura, how much was this? Let me pay for it. That's a stupid question. This is my gift. Why do you want to pay for something I already paid for? You don't pay for a gift. If you pay for a gift, it's not a gift. So to Peter, the Holy Spirit is a gift. You thought you could buy this gift with your money. Now, I'll give Peter a pass. You might think, This is kind of strict. Why does Peter have to be so hard on Simon? Do you remember the last time Peter had a problem with money? People died. Ananias and Sapphira. They're lying about money. Right? So here it is again. Silver and gold. Peter said, you want to come with silver and gold? You want to come with money? So I get it. Peter was, maybe he had some history. You know, going into it. So for Peter, stupid question. I think for Simon, I think he genuinely wanted to be a part of this great ministry. Who could blame him? You know, we do the same thing. We don't judge Simon. God, I'm a Christian now. So that means I give you 10% of my money. Right? No, you give God 100% of your money. God, I'm a Christian now. I give you one day out of the week. No, you give God every single day of the week. God, I'm a Christian now. I have to give you 30 minutes every day, so I have to read this Bible and pray. No, you're a Christian. You give God every hour of every day, every week, 100% of all your money. If you can't do that, there's grace. It's covered by the grace of God. Yeah. If you can give more than 10%, do it with joy. If you could pray for more than 30 minutes, do it with great passion. If you could come to church for more than one day a week, just be careful. Okay? Just, you don't have to do it. Okay? Pray, have prayer meetings, be in groups, you know, enjoy your Christian life. Ah, it's wonderful. Have fellowship, have dinner with each other, let's pray together, all of that. And give. Give with great, be generous. You know? Give 90% if you're able to. There's only a few people who can do that. But we're just like this. We think, oh, I want to join. I want to be part of this. How much do I have to give? Jesus paid it all. That's it. You go to the cross. And also, why do I think Simon was sincere? It's not so stupid, but it's sincere. It's the last part of the text. Go to one more slide. Simon says, I'm sorry. Verse 24. Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. He repents. He repents. I don't want to die with this money. Yeah. A great episode. Fantastic episode. This feeds us. This frees us. This helps us to give all to Jesus Christ. Are you Simon? Do you need to hear from Philip, or do you need to hear from Peter? Philip brought the kingdom with healing, freedom, and it resulted with great joy. Are you someone who needs the message of great joy? That God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten you. You have turned your back on God, but God has not turned his back on you. Do you need to hear from Philip? Yes, you've sinned. Yes, you've stumbled. Maybe you have fallen. It's okay. We all have. We trust in Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood can save us. Maybe you need to hear from Philip. Maybe you need to hear from Peter. It's not your money. It's not what you give. It's the God who gives. It's the God who saves. It's Jesus Christ. Repent of your righteous works. If you're not repenting of your sin, repent of your righteousness. God will receive it. God has lots of grace and lots of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, please help us to repent of our sin and help us to repent of our righteousness. Thank you for the message of Philip. Thank you for the message of Peter. And thank you for the great joy that is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you that you open us, or you open yourself to receive us through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's do the one I taught you.
Yes, it's a children's book.
May the God who gives endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another according to Jesus Christ, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one mind and one voice. Amen. Thank you all for coming this day. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.